Hey everybody, it's Jonathan here, your host of In the Shed, or one of your hosts. Eva just left the shed a few hours ago, and we had a really fun conversation. I cannot wait to share it with you, and I thought I'd jump on here beforehand because we just kind of started talking, and I never really introduced the shed or Eva until a few minutes in, so I didn't want it to be awkward when you just start listening and we're talking about like chocolate and how Eva likes to give them as gifts, and then we start talking about hazelnuts and things like that. So you're not confused. Welcome into the shed, everybody. I hope you enjoy the episode and have a great weekend.
I always buy hazelnuts and chocolate for people.
Hazelnuts and chocolate.
I mean, hazelnuts are very, they're very local. I feel like Oregon grows nearly all of the hazelnuts for the entirety of the U.S. I'm pretty sure this is true.
Should be our, is it our state nut?
Sure.
I feel like it's one of those nuts.
Is there a state nut?
I was going to say, I could see someone being like, did you know that hazelnuts aren't a nut? It's actually a vegetable. That came up the other day in our house.
It's actually a legume.
Are cashews legumes? They're not nuts or something like that?
Sure.
Okay. I'm pretty safe calling hazelnut a nut.
I think we could call it a nut. We could even just call it a filbert.
Yeah. I feel like it's a pretty, you know, classy nut too, like as far as that goes. I'd be proud if Oregon was the leading hazelnut producer.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe somewhere in Italy, just because of Nutella, I feel like there may be something in Italy that rivals
Italy,
us.
Italy, and I feel like maybe in the Middle East also. Like
right.
Turkey, maybe.
Yes. Known for their dry, volcanic. I wonder where we don't grow ours on the dry side of Oregon, though.
No,
do we?
They're in the Willamette Valley.
They're in the Willamette
sure.
Valley.
Yeah. And even on like Mount Hood, where they grow all the apples and stuff.
Mm.
Like that we never fact check any of our...
No.
We just throw out things that people can Google if they like.
I got fact checked this week by a local, well-known local media outlet. And I'm just like, that would be so nice to have a fact checker for every Bike Portland story. Sorry about the hair on the mic there. I don't know where that came from. It's not mine. That's
just,
not, I don't sit on that
side. Just two dogs, you know.
Exactly. Yeah, I got fact checked. I don't know if you've ever...
What did they fact check you about?
So, you know, most legitimate media outlets.
Sure.
Not like mine. When you do a story that's yeah. coming out, that's you have somebody look at it who wasn't attached to the story. So mm-hmm. an editor of some sort or a fact checker, maybe that's its own job. And they call the person that's quoted or they email them, right? And
right.
they say, did you say this? This is kind of what we're saying. Is that all right? How does that look to you?
Mm-hmm.
And they just want that added little layer of sign-off. They want to get the framing right. They don't want to get a mistake. So,
right.
yeah. And obviously, as you go up in importance and depth in stories, I'm sure when you're doing like Washington Post or, you know, something,
yeah,
they've
sure.
got some serious fact-checking going on. But anyway, it's fun. When I see those, though, I'm always reminded like just how... Like Portland doesn't have that
it's just
kind of
you.
Thing. It's just like, I
and
hope
Lisa.
There's nothing wrong. You know? So the benefit of focusing on one subject. And
so you got fact checked. Were they not facts?
They were good.
Okay.
It was all fine. It's
okay.
It's going to be an article about e-bikes, I think.
Okay. Yeah, I felt like we were talking very nebulously.
Yeah,
about
I always don't want to say the outlet, Casey, you know. Oh, no, it's not going to be about e-bikes. That was a different thing. It's going to be about cycling in like the uptick in cycling in Portland. The big 5% tick. That
the tick after the giant downfall.
Yeah, yeah. So that's going to be. But I did have a crew from, I guess I can say it, from KGW here
mm-hmm.
Just yesterday or the day before. And they were doing something about e-bikes. Gosh, I hope I didn't just scoop them or something. I'm sure they won't mind. It's a teaser. Local TV.
Yeah, tune in.
Local broadcast TV.
Learn about e-bikes.
They love the teasers. Yeah.
So you ride an e-bike.
Yeah. Look for that to come up. When's Earth Week? I don't even know or care. Really.
Earth Day is April 22nd.
Okay. Should I know, Eva? You knew
yes,
it really quickly.
You should know when Earth Day is.
Okay. Before,
when is Flag Day?
I have no idea.
June
free
14th.
Flag now. Whenever I hear that, I'm going to think of Free Little Art Gallery because I did you see the story I just posted?
Sorry.
You didn't read it on your way over? Oh, before I get into
let
that.
Let me just pull it up right now.
Before I get into that, welcome to the shed, everyone.
Oh, thanks. Hi. Hi, everybody.
Been a few weeks since we've recorded.
It's been a few weeks.
We've both been.
We've gotten slightly older.
Gone and off
spring
our.
Spring has sprung.
Off our schedules. But back to. Flag Day and my segue into this thing that I just posted about the PDX Sidewalk Joy Map. It was news to me. I saw this, the people who created it, it's PDX Flag on Instagram and also PDX Dinorama on Instagram. I saw when they posted it on their accounts, like there's like thousands and thousands of likes. You know, when you see that, you feel like, oh, I'm like the last
like
person.
Like, how did I miss this?
I'm the last person to know about this. But it's really cool. You know how they have, you know, all the different things, like you see the little art galleries on someone's front yard or like a toy exchange, or like there's the one over here by Peninsula Park. It's like a dog stick, you know, leave a stick, take a stick.
I don't know about this.
And it's like for dogs. It's so sweet. People put Lego minifigures or Matchbox cars or,
okay,
you know,
so
little
it's
free
a,
library
it's an expansion
stuff.
Of little free libraries.
Yeah, but it's everything. There's okay. One that's like a seesaw that someone made in there. They just want you to come and play. And, you know, it's all okay, the public. Sure. I don't know if you've heard of the Facebook group Hidden Portland for the Curious.
No.
It's this huge Facebook group that's all, I was on it because there's a lot of bike people, right? Because we see all the little hidden nuggets
sure.
and stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, PDX Joy Maps, Sidewalk Joy Map. It's really cool. I did a quick post on it because I thought, what better way to see a little...
Wait, so why is Flag Day somehow... How did that lead
Sorry.
To that?
It was the acronym.
I'm not following.
It was the acronym. Flag, F-L-A-G, was the one of the creators of this map.
Okay.
Free Little Art Gallery.
Okay.
Is kind of the
Thank
thing
you.
That they
Thank
follow.
You. So many acronyms.
It was really just to divert attention from me not really knowing much about Flag Day.
It really doesn't matter.
I wanted to change the subject.
It doesn't matter.
Really quick.
When Leah Benson was still at the helm at Gladys Bikes, we talked about making Flag Day like the unofficial like bike shop holiday because it was sort of peak season.
Oh, it is? Well, now
shops.
That you've piqued everybody's interest, what is it and when is it?
Well, Flag Day is a maybe national holiday. I don't think you get the day off or anything, but it's June 14th.
Ah. Oh, yeah. Peak season. Yeah. That could have been that. Yeah. There used to be a bike shop holiday.
Yeah. Why not? Take it back.
Well, now.
Or add to it.
Now you don't care because you're always on bike shop holidays, so.
Yes. In the European sense.
Speaking of which, Eva, what the heck have you been up to?
I've been on holiday.
Stop.
Well, I went to Nebraska.
Yes. Report back on the cranes.
Yeah, the cranes were incredible. Okay, so the Sandhill cranes migrate from south to north this time of year, and they spend a little time in Nebraska. There's this spot on the Platte River where apparently 80% of all of migrating Sandhill cranes stop to refuel. It's just a little pit stop on the way, and mm-hmm. they eat, like... the sort of detritus in the fields, the corn and whatnot, but they actually sleep standing up in the Platte River because they're the way their predators are, like being in a river is actually a safer place to be. It's bizarre.
Is it a low river? Like
it's a very flat, shallow river.
Okay.
Anyway, so we booked this sort of a tour through the Audubon Society there.
Cool.
And you get to be in a duck blind at sunrise. And it's incredible. Thousands and thousands of birds like hanging out and making little squawky noises and like taking flight and like eagles trying to rush them. And
wow.
Yeah, it's cool.
Was it scary at all? Like locusts would be or something like that kind of thing? No.
No.
Calm?
No, pretty calm.
Okay, even though they're eating and there's all this like...
Yeah, I mean, like geese.
Mm-hmm. Do they make a sound?
Yeah, they make this really kind of guttural honking sound.
Are you able to...
Squawking? I cannot. I'm not. This is not the car, guys.
Is this when I need to go into the
I need
sound
to
effects?
Just like, yeah, go find okay, the video I'll that I posted,
it.
Maybe.
I'll go.
It's a little like geese,
I
but
see.
it's less... Less honk and more squeaky. I don't know.
Yeah. Wow.
It was fun.
80%.
And there's some very nerdy people.
I was going to say, did you make some
that
friends?
That have made the journey.
I wanted to know two things. Did you make friends and what outfit were you wearing?
Shelly from Minnesota.
Hi, Shelly.
Okay. So it was 11 degrees.
That's right.
Fahrenheit.
Oh.
We drove through a blizzard. To get there, we drove from Laramie, Wyoming through what they like to call a ground blizzard. So it's snowing, but it's like 50 mile an hour winds. So you can't really see the ground in front of you.
Can you imagine if that happened here?
Oh my God.
So
yeah, well,
and the cranes
it was
still
pretty
come
bad
out,
there.
Even in
the cranes don't care.
They don't care.
They have some thing where they can like shut off blood flow to their legs.
Oh, and you just felt like your blood flow had stopped. Like,
my toes probably. Were very cold.
Ouch.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I wore like 2 layers of long underwear and thick socks. And
wow, okay.
I was cold, but it was okay.
But you're back on the other side. It's, and you've seen the crane.
It's much nicer here.
You can mark that off your...
I marked it off my list.
Your list.
It's pretty cool. There are sandhill cranes here, so you don't have to go all the way to Nebraska.
And when you see one or two, you're just going to scoff.
What?
Like,
no, you can see crowds of them up on Savi Island.
Cool. And,
yeah.
What's next on your list?
Going to California in May.
Fun.
To see some old friends.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. That's it. That's my list for now.
Good.
Maybe a book fair in Seattle next weekend.
Ooh, book fair.
Next weekend. Couple weekends from now.
So many books coming out, even in our little transportation world. I don't know if it's more. I like to see a chart on transportation book releases. There's this woman, Megan Kimball, I think's her name. She did one on ripping out freeways and, you know, the freeway fighter one. There's a new one in Oregon, cycling in Oregon, that this guy, Dan Shryrock, did.
Mm-hmm.
Shryrock? Sorry, Dan, if I got your name wrong there. Really cool. He just wrote all the scenic bikeways. And then wrote really great stuff and interviewed folks along the way. Yeah, I feel like I finally got my copy of the Riding Uphill in the Rain from
Maybe
Seattle.
You're just reading again and you're paying attention.
Yeah, I just feel like there's a lot of books coming out. What else?
Whatever happened to your book club?
It's still there. I found someone at Bike Happy Hour, Forrest.
Yeah.
Hi, Forrest, who is been great and eager to help.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of those things that I just feel like I can't add.
Yeah.
And so I needed someone to kind of push me. And so he sent me this wonderful email with how we can do it. And I just haven't moved forward since that. So it's still there. Right now I'm focused on the big anniversary party this coming Wednesday.
Yes.
So April 17th, we're going to have our 1-year anniversary party for Bike Happy Hour. So I've been busy kind of trying to make
that. Did you get a pinata?
Not yet. I'm holding out for a local one.
Yeah.
And I've got like the Amazon
Yeah.
button just sitting there. Because that may be
Do you
my
want
last,
to make one?
That may be my last resort. If I can make one Monday or Tuesday night. I mean, like, we're getting
oh,
close.
Oh, no. The thing about pinatas, you have to start like a week before.
Why? So everything can dry and
yeah,
set?
Yeah. So you do like 3 layers of paper mache and yeah you
so
probably need
that.
a day each to dry.
Maybe we're not doing that.
Okay. Sorry.
This time. Or I may just scrap the whole thing and just... rely on other festivities.
Yeah.
But there's a couple, unfortunately, on Amazon that are like cars. There's a car and a truck that I could grab, but
dear friends, you do not need to use Amazon ever.
I'd rather not do that. So we'll see. But yeah, no, other stuff happening so far. Anniversary party. It's going to be really fun. We have the boom bike coming. So that's that amazing thing that Mike Cobb and Dan Kaufman and folks are have put together. It's going to be huge this summer. This will probably be one of the first kind of big public events it does. It's already signed a contract for Sunday Parkways, so it'll be at Sunday Parkways.
Dang.
And I think it'll be everywhere. Actually, it may be at Lads 500 this weekend. But anyway, it's a really cool bike with like a performance stage attached to the back of this tricycle that's all human powered, all the sound and everything. It's fantastic. Hopefully we'll have at least a couple little artisan folks there. Definitely Lady Max and Flat Tire Creations will be there. And Curtis Williams, who founded North Street Bags, is actually going to be there as well. And it just so happens that North Street has some really cool new bags that are launching that same day.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I got an email from like the PR person saying that they got these cool new bags and it was April 17th launch date. And I'm like, oh, you got to come to happy hour. So Curtis will be there, Mr. Bag, Mr. North Streets himself, and he'll also be giving away some of his bags. So I'm trying to line up a bunch of fun stuff for the raffle. Portland Design Works, we'll have some of their stuff in the raffle. DeMontech, of course, we'll have some lubes and stuff, some excellent lube. Gorgeous is going to kick down probably some 4-packs and some Gorgeous Beer Co. swag. So you could get your beanie or your hoodie or whatever else. And who knows what else?
Sounds amazing.
Raffle wise.
How about this sign that says nails in the bike lane?
How about that sign?
Wait, you're just going to hold on to that forever.
Before we move on.
Yeah.
I want to, yeah. Don't forget everybody to come to Bike Happy Hour this coming week.
Wednesday the 17th.
Yeah. Raffle will be at 5:30, but it'll be fun from 3:01 on.
Be there or be square.
It's going to be great.
Are there any should people dress in a certain way? Do you want to have a theme?
No, not necessarily. Okay. We fine. Could, but it's, I mean, I don't know what you could just make one up right now. Cause yeah, I'll
you could wear like a bike themed shirt.
That's true.
Or hat.
We could do that. Cause Monday, this coming Monday is when I'll do the big promo for it. So I can add stuff in, but
everyone should come ready with a story about Jonathan.
Nope. We're going to have a lot of fun. I may have a really embarrassing way to call out the regulars who've been there. I think I'm going to call regulars like people that have been there like more than half the time, you know. But I'm not singling them out too much because we like the newbies just as much as
like
the regulars.
Joseph Perez.
Yes. I think he's been 46 times or something.
I stopped bringing my name tag and getting stickers at some point.
No, you're just...
I'm bad.
You're just beyond that.
Just...
Well, you have the sticker of the sort of dunce's cap.
Yeah, just a piece of masking tape with my name on it. Yeah. I like to think that my reputation precedes me. It's probably not completely true.
But back to this sign that's here in the shed next to the couch here that you were intrigued by, the nails in the bike lane sign. I love...
If you were in Portland in the year 2018?
I'm looking it up. I'm looking it up right now. It's a good guess. I'm always so satisfied when I guess the date right of a story because it's just been too much.
So it's a yellow and black sign that says nails in the bike lane. $1,000 cash reward. 2019.
Sorry, yeah,
okay.
2019.
Okay.
We had a $1,000 cash reward. I don't know.
Who put that up?
I think it was a reader who put that up. Okay. Anyways, folks. So this is a thing that evolved. Like it started in like actually several years before that. In 2017, we started getting reports and it kind of kept trickling in. And then in 2019, there were still reports and it was always around North Interstate over by Widmer.
Yeah.
And they were always, it seemed like they were like the same kind of nails. And there was instantly a conspiracy that they were purposely being strewn about just to annoy bike riders. So it's funny in the excerpt, I wrote enough is enough. Help us solve the mystery of nails on the Interstate Avenue bike lane. Win $1,000 if you lead to the arrest or whatever. Yeah, anyway. So yeah, we had these cool signs made by Ben Schoenman, who I haven't heard from for a long time, but he was a cool sign maker by bike that made us these. And we actually went down an interstate and stuck them up on the poles and never really got much closer to finding the
Nobody
person.
Found the...
Maybe they were just falling off a truck.
Bags of nails.
But there you go. Nails in the bike lane. Cash reward. I'll share the link in the show notes if you want to delve into the archives. Which is, you know, one of my favorite pastimes. That was 5 years ago. Now I can go pretty far back in the archives. Just had our 19th birthday.
I know. I saw the picture of your daughter as a baby. Yeah. And I was wow.
Isn't that weird? Time flies. But we're still having fun. So that's all that matters. Right? This is fun, right?
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. Sometimes we talk about politics too much, but.
You think? Oh, is that?
For me, politics is not always fun. Some people, politics is very fun.
Yeah, we have to find a way to
make politics fun.
Yes.
Okay.
Or at least not objectionable, or at least find some way for you to, I don't know. I have this thing. It's like in my personality where I want to, the people that I'm kind of like connecting with and talking to, I want them to kind of like think how I think or like, you know, whatever, like I want this whole thing that you're not super into politics and I'm like super eager to talk about it. I'm like,
the tension here. Maybe that's good.
I'm like, what's my strategy, you know, to get Eva to like get excited?
I get excited about like zoning and density.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's
adjacent.
Yeah. It's politics adjacent. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough. You probably don't want to hear about my ride with Chad Likens then.
You all went out to Southwest Portland.
Yeah.
I used to ride a lot in Southwest Portland.
You did?
So I can...
Why did you ride out there?
I used to work at REI in Tigard.
Oh, wow.
Or Tualatin. Down by Bridgeport Village. And I would ride my bike from 18th and Hawthorne.
Really?
Not every day, but often. And I often took the 96 or the 12.
Oh, I see. Do you remember what was like the main route you would, if you're biking, what would you be?
I took Barber.
Barber to?
To Hall.
To Hall.
Or like through downtown Tigard.
You're still here with us.
Sometimes I drive a car on that road and I'm like, holy shit, what was wrong with me? I was in my 20s. That was what was wrong with me.
That's kind of interesting that Or you can like, bike on a road. Yeah. Well, you're in your 20s. It's different. Your perspective is what it is. Like, especially if you're like a confident biker.
You're a little
like
more invincible.
Yeah. It's funny though, but getting in a car sometimes can make the biking feel more dangerous than when you're actually on your bike. Why? Yeah. That's strange. And yeah, you're right. But Barbara, that'd be a street like that. I'm just glad you're still here. Yeah. Those are some treacherous
places. I mean, I think
it
was kind of fun in a way.
In a way.
To bike so far and to be kind of like... I used to play leapfrog with the number 12 sometimes on Barber, and that was both fun and not fun because you're going essentially the same speed because they stop so many times.
But that means you had to swerve into Barber around the bus.
Essentially.
Yikes. It's funny because when I was riding with Chad Likens, he's running for City Council District 4. Please listen to the podcast episode just went up last night. I worked till like 8 to get it up. So please listen to it. And the posts and stuff, so listen to that. But he's running for District 4, which people don't realize is like everything west of the Willamette, from Linton and Forest Park to South Waterfront, you know, the border with Lake Oswego, for heaven's sake, and then East Moreland, Selwood. It's a really fascinating district.
Yeah.
Very diverse.
Yeah.
In some ways.
Geographically
and economically.
Sure. Definitely. Yeah,
he's a really interesting candidate. I really encourage everybody to read up on him. But it was funny because we're just talking about riding on Barber and stuff, and it was kind of cute. Like I couldn't. He asked me several times on the ride, like if I was okay, if I felt safe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I was like, gosh, am I getting so old now that people just they look at me and they think that I just like need to be sort of you know.
Coddled,
taken care of,
or put into like a protected bike lane somewhere.
It was a total like interesting, like for my masculinity or whatever. Like I'm not used to people being like, "Are you okay? Do you feel okay?" Mm-hmm. Like it's very, it just doesn't. People don't usually say that to me, and I'm like, "Okay, that's where I'm at."
I made a new friend. Well, maybe I like met up with a new friend, and we went for a bike ride. And there were two points at which I was like, "Are you okay?" One, I was like, "Are you okay with cemeteries?" Because I wanted to take him to Lone Fir.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. Maybe some people are weird about cemeteries.
Well, that's good.
And then I asked, are you okay with bridges? Because I'm actually not always okay with bridges. And we took one of those, like, we went through Reed College campus. You know, there's those bridges that go across the creek there.
No, I've never been.
Have you ever been to Reed
campus?
I've
never ridden on that campus.
Oh, my goodness.
That's a part of town I'm like never.
Let's go on a bike ride.
Yeah, we should. We could do a, what if we did in the shed on the bike? I don't know.
Yeah, definitely.
On the bike. Anyway, yeah, that would work.
And then we visited Andy Schmidt at
fun.
Lord's Luggage.
So is that a thing? Bridges? Is it have to do with the? Is it also like
I don't. What? There's something weird. I feel weird on bridges. Mm. The St. John's Bridge. I almost had a panic attack once.
Really?
Yeah.
What about that little spot?
I would have ridden an extra like 12 miles to get home, but my friend was like, "You can do it."
What is it? Do you know?
I don't know. I think it's like the heights mixed with. The exposure, like the St. John's Bridge especially, is kind of...
Oh, yeah.
Feels...
The cars come...
It's very tall and the sidewalk feels kind of...
Oh, totally.
Uncomfortable.
Yeah. What about that little thing on the Esplanade where over by Pirate... I think it's Pirate Island? You know, where...
The grading?
Yeah, the grading. Where you
I can
down.
Ride on that.
Okay.
It's not too high.
I just didn't know if the visual part of not having, you know, pavement under your tires was... Also.
I think if I was up like 5 stories off the ground, that would feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, so it's more of the exposure and stuff. I was just, somebody was saying, I don't know if it was the Broadway, but yeah, they were saying they feel really uncomfortable with the sense that if you had to bail, you would just be ejected.
Where
over
would
the railing.
You be? Yeah. You'd be
sorry.
In the river.
Was that triggering, Eva?
No. That was fine. The Broadway Bridge is, I feel like I could maybe survive that jump. I don't know.
I wonder if you're more comfortable in the Tillicum because it's just quiet and if the noise of the rumbling cars adds to your anxiety.
I'm sure it does. Yeah. There's also a little more space between you and the railing on that bridge.
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't been to therapy for this, so I couldn't tell you exactly
you might want to think
what date and time this started on the Mid-Hudson Bridge between Kingston and Rhinecliff. Probably.
Oh. So it has like an origination.
I think so. We don't have time today.
No.
Plus, I'm not paying you for this session.
I'm trying to think. I just walked over the Brooklyn Bridge.
That's awesome. Yeah. The Brooklyn Bridge is pretty incredible.
It is. Very incredible. If you just think about all the... I mean, it can't be bridged like that in the U.S. in terms of all the different factors. They, for the sheer volume of foot traffic, it's just wild.
Yeah.
The views, oh my gosh, right? Of the skyline in New York City or Manhattan and all that. And then
also the bridge itself is beautiful.
It is. That's right. It's like a historic surface that's wood and all the cabling and everything. Yet it's still this massive thoroughfare for so many thousands of cars. And now to make it even more interesting, they've carved out a bike lane on it too, on the actual car, you know, on the main deck there. So pretty amazing. But yeah, it was fun. We did tons of walking.
I saw you walked a lot.
Back from New York. Yeah. 8-10 miles a day or so for like 4 days in a row.
What was the best meal you had?
Ooh, good question. What was the best meal? It's more of like not necessarily the best tasting.
Or like experience.
I was going to say, yeah. Well, it was just like super late. And it was really a fun trip because it was just me, my wife, Julie, and my boy, Everett, who's 13. And it was just very sweet in a lot of ways. And it was really late. And we just stopped by one of those places on the corner that, you know, is like 24-hour just fried stuff or whatever.
Right.
And it was just so nice. We got, I don't know, onion rings and hot dogs and stuff. And it was just super sweet because we all realized that, like, this is the most non-Portland experience just because we're like lamenting that there's nothing
like bodega dinner basically.
Yeah, like a bodega dinner. And wasn't open, of course, because it's Manhattan, but like we were so tired by that point, like the thought of walking even another two blocks was just too much. So we're like, this is where we're gonna eat. And it was so fun, you know. There's a super nice guy working there, and it's just Manhattan. The vibes are just wonderful. I love that place. Every time I go, I just fall deeper and deeper.
Just being surrounded by so many people.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty cool.
Interestingness of it all, you know? This time it was packed. It was really, really crowded. I didn't really like, you know, the High Line is always a great thing in terms of a park and stuff, but it was like too crowded.
There's a lot of people.
A lot of people. It was like Disney. You had to keep walking.
Yeah.
And it's like they need more space up there or something anyway. They should double decker the High Line or something. Anyway, good trip. It was really fun. A lot of walking. They just need to
find more spaces to retake and get some cool Dutch landscape architect to.
That's right.
Make it like that.
Yeah. Because like if you think about why people are drawn to the High Line, it's like the car free. It's the landscape.
Yeah.
And I'm sure the advocates there are like, did you realize that we can just do this anywhere? We can just do this. On a street, pick a street. But yeah.
Then there's that food hall right at the end that's like super popular too.
Yeah, the Chelsea Food Market. That was actually, in terms of taste, we went to Los Tacos in the Chelsea Food Market. Oh my goodness. The whole time we're just like, Julie and I are eating this, you know, pastor taco. And we're like, where do they get these ingredients? How does Manhattan, it consumes millions of pounds of this wonderful fresh food every day. Yeah. And where is it coming from? Is it like where you used to live? Is it like upstate? Is it
everywhere.
Just full of farm? Like,
yeah.
How are you getting this really authentic Mexican flavor and wonderful meats and vegetables? That's one of the fascinating things about that little island. Is like
New York is just like a logistical, like how is it possible? How does it work?
Totally. I'm just like, I want to see the YouTube video of like all the trucks lining up to like, I don't know, are there ships full of wonderful avocados like or tomatoes?
Probably. Like,
you don't see them, but they're there because everybody's eating all kinds of stuff every day. The other food market that was even better, I think it was over in Brooklyn. I think it was the DeKalb.
Oh yeah,
marketplace. Mm-hmm. DeKalb something, is that the right?
I think so.
In Brooklyn. Oh my gosh, that is the best food court I've ever seen in my life. Just next level. Just all the different ethnic foods. Oh my goodness, they had this barbecue place, and it was like Le Creuset pots that they just cooked it. I mean, just like you felt like you're in someone's living or like you know, kitchen in their house. Except his wonderful chicken and yams and mac and cheese. Anyway, and it was just like, oh, every corner. Oh, there's some Cuban food. There's Ecuadorian.
Yeah.
And it was all so legit. You know what I'm saying?
I just love getting shawarma out of a truck.
Like, do you?
11, 12 o'clock at night.
The eggs over rice. Yeah. The eggs. The beef over rice or chicken over rice. Or
Yeah. With the works, you know.
Yeah. That place. Tell you. Mm-hmm. What else? Speaking of cities, did you go to the City Nerd thing?
I did.
It was quite a phenomenon, wasn't it?
There were a lot of nerds there.
Yeah.
yeah, for sure. I have mixed feelings about its, like, the actual talk, but
yeah,
it was cool to see so many people excited about the subject matter.
Yeah, I feel like people were just, like, so eager to be excited, you know? And it was quite the contrast to see Lily Karavec and Ray Delahanty just next to each other, and they're there.
Yeah, Lillian just trying to pull anything out of his mouth, and he was, like, unwilling to give any juice. Like, classic. I felt like a lot of his answers were not answers. Mm. I was like, can you just something?
Yeah. Well, he's an engineer. He's a former, you know,
he's a diplomat,
public sector employee. I feel for Ray because it's not easy to do that. It takes a lot of courage to say yes to that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And now that he's got such a huge following, he's in a position where people are like, come and speak at our thing. And everybody wants to meet him. And so he could easily just be like, I'm not into that. That's not my thing.
Right.
But he's doing it. And I don't think he's done a lot of stuff like that. And I think if you see him in an event a year from now or so, it'll probably be a lot different.
Yeah.
I'm assuming. Or he's just like, that's who I am. Deal
right.
with it. Watch
right.
my videos. Shut up. You know? Which is fine because he has struck a chord. I mean, people are just... He just connects. And I think that's part of why, actually. And it was interesting, like, yeah, listening to him live and being questioned by Lily. And then I feel like in some ways, the things that maybe are more limiting to, like, what he presents live are what actually makes him really good on YouTube. Because I think a lot of people can connect to somebody who's just deadpan, like Lily said, just kind of calm and has just this very... this ego that's just like this very humble presence, you know? And I think online sometimes people really connect to that because there are so many people that are just like their egos are a little bit too big, I think, online. And that's kind
that
of
in his opinion is really just like digesting statistics.
Well, that's the thing too. To his credit, I mean, he was being put in a position to have an opinion about stuff and like he didn't ask for that, right?
Yeah. I was surprised. I felt like maybe they would have prepped him with the questions.
I think they should have been like, should have had his videos in the background and like stuck more to that, because I can totally appreciate like being asked to say stuff or weigh in on stuff that's really not your bailiwick. That's not, it's similar like when people interview me and they act like I'm this advocate or like, what would your group do? You know, it's like, no, I'm like an observer of the community. It's a subtle difference.
Right.
But I don't want to get into like, you know, activism necessarily in that way. But yeah, it's like he's not a spokesperson for urbanism.
He did have an opinion, Flanders Crossing.
He did. Well, that's a good
I love
thing
Flanders
to ask.
Crossing. Yeah. I use it all the time.
He chose that as his favorite bridge, folks, if you missed it.
Yeah.
By the way, I may upload a recording because I recorded the audio with a nice little audio recorder and turns out the organizers didn't.
Oh, wow.
And so now they're asking, I gave them my audio recording and they haven't given me their
Classic.
Permission to share it publicly yet. So,
oh my God.
Anyway, if you want to listen to it, but yeah, so yeah, he did pick his favorite bridge as being Flanders.
And favorite neighborhood is Hollywood.
Hollywood.
Which,
I mean, I could see that. It's pretty, for him, I think that's kind of perfect. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like the spreadsheet, like sort of more, what do you call it? Not conservative.
It has no clout. Like the New York Times is never going to write an article like the Hollywood neighborhood.
It doesn't really ever. You're right. No one ever really talks about
it. I also think about how awkward it is to like get across the street in Hollywood. I feel
Sandy.
Like I always end up like on the north side of Sandy and I want to be on the south side of Sandy.
Because your brain can't handle a diagonal because you're a Portlander.
Yeah, diagonals.
If it's not
so
a grid,
hard.
you're constantly tormented by it. I can relate. But no, he also picked Sandy as his favorite arterial, which is a funny question because you're like,
it is a funny question.
We hate arterials.
Like,
don't
what
ask us
is
to pick a
an
favorite.
Arterial? Just a big road,
a
main road that
yeah.
carries lots of people.
It's a big road.
Yeah.
Big road. So yeah, that was interesting.
Yeah. And then you had the kids from PSU that are doing a little design project about Sandy.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really exciting. I'm so eager to get at that, debate once it happens, because I think it'll definitely be a big debate. Thankfully, hopefully it'll be a debate when we've jettisoned the current city council to insignificance somewhere. I don't know, and we're beyond.
Well, one
those
of them
five.
Might become mayor,
and maybe true, but we'll have some fresh you know, some fresh meat on council to, and I can't wait for the next big bike lane debate that isn't confined by the current government structure that has just been so frustrating to deal with when we get into these big conversations, you know, like Hawthorne bike lane or whatever. So I think it's gonna be a lot different. And I think it's to Bike Loud's credit to be looking ahead and be laying this groundwork by partnering with this Portland State University group and getting this.
This is totally Kyle done. Like presented the, you know, we're repaving 14 blocks of Sandy and what, let's make it cool.
Yeah.
And I would love to see some depaving happen on that section of street. Cause it's just pavement. Everything is pavement.
Yeah.
So there's all these little corners, you know, all these little diagonals, 14th to 28th.
14 to 28. Yeah. That's it. Yeah. Interesting. So that's, well before Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You've got some vacant lot frontage kind of stuff. That's an interesting section. But boy,
it's a real erratic section. I mean, there's like the Sandy Hut.
Yeah.
There's some like used cars, maybe. There's the mattress lot.
Yeah.
Which used to deliver mattresses by bicycle.
They did.
Are they still doing that?
I don't think so. I think that went by the wayside.
That was like they did that for a year.
Those are back in the good old days there, whatever you want to call them. That could be transformational. Because if you think about if we were able to get a bikeway on those blocks, 14 to 28, because you start thinking, well, I would like how it would create some urgency around making 28th have a bikeway, which we had that whole controversy years ago. But if nothing else, it would connect to the 20th.
Well, the bike lane went like a couple more blocks. Two more blocks.
But still, the connection between what, you know, the 12th. Yeah, it would be really amazing. And could be one of the best like commercial street bikeways in the city. And it would be like, na 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 na, looking at Hawthorne, that you missed your chance. So we'll do it again.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But, you know, all the same naysayers will emerge for sure. I don't know if Sandy has a strong business group, but that would be interesting.
I feel like there, you know, there's a lot of independent businesses there that could be swayed.
Mm, the time to get over there and swing is now.
Well, because, you know, there's a lot of eating and drinking happening on that street. And I think there are a lot of people that ride bikes there.
Mm.
Like I see the bike racks are full. Often.
Yeah, for sure.
Near Guero and.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, that's it. Future Sandy. Yeah, so credit to Kyle Johnson from Bike Loud for putting that all on our map, like years and years in advance. I don't remember anyone ever being so proactive when it comes to like a bike project. Yeah. He heard about that Sandy thing and he's like, we're doing that. It's going to have a bike way. We're going to do everything we can to make it
every meeting we have, he's like, Sandy Boulevard.
Yeah, exactly. That's what he does. Anyway, what else? Mentioned Lads 500. That's going to be huge. I'm a little worried that it might be too big.
Yeah.
I feel like the golden moment was like last year and the year before where it was kind of perfect. And now I'm like, it'll probably be okay, but I do think it's reaching the point where we've seen events like this over time. It happened to the World Naked Bike Ride. It even happened to Bridge Pedal, even given all their sort of officialness. But like World Naked Bike Ride had, you know, it had that growth and it was so exciting and magical, and then it got too big.
Yeah.
And it lost a lot
of people
that.
Like it come here to do it.
Yeah. And then the shine went off it and people got sick of, you know, we had to stop going downtown because people were getting their butts slapped by sailors and stuff. Like it was bad, you know? Yeah. So I hope Lads can kind of find some plateau of magicness, you know, where it doesn't get too big, but it's going to be massive. I don't think it's necessarily enough grass in the park for what's about to occur.
Hopefully we'll see. Neighbors don't freak out.
It's wild. There's going to be so many people there and it's that road's not officially closed because he has a permit for the park, but there's no permit for the street. So
you just have to know.
We just ferry the drivers through kind of thing. So anyway,
I've never participated.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting. Will you go tomorrow?
I was going to, and then I got invited to go sailing. So I'm going to go sailing.
As one does.
I'm sorry.
That's such an Eva.
I love riding bicycles, but I'm not really into huge crowds of people being stupid.
Yeah. What? What is that? That's actually part of the slogan, isn't it? Let's spring, let's do something stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah. There will be a lot of that. Yeah. I don't know if I would go if...
I'm sure it would make me laugh if I was there.
Yeah.
I mean, riding around in circles for...
I kind of feel
dizzy.
Yeah. I kind of feel obligated to go, honestly. Once I've covered something a couple years in a row and I felt like I did a good job at it, it's like it kind of loses its... I kind of lose a little bit of interest.
Yeah.
Everybody in the bike world will be there except you. So I'm kind of drawn to that, but it's also a Saturday. And I've been doing all kinds of stuff lately and it's kind of like... So we'll see. And Sunday I'm going out to... I think Sunday I'm going to go to Cascade Locks.
Ooh.
And hang out with Northwest Trail Alliance and some folks. They're doing a big trail dig day on some of the trails out there. There's a lot going
on. That's great.
Off-road. Yeah, I'll bring my boy and, you know, there'll be food. And I heard Brad from Metropolis Cycles is going to be on the barbecue. So it should be fun.
Is he good at barbecuing?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I think he will be because he is a great artist. I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah, he does watercolors.
Yeah, I think so. So I figure, you know, he's somebody who...
He can pay attention.
He can pay attention and be focused and, you know, has that dexterity that mm-hmm. sometimes, you know, being on the barbecue
I like
requires.
That being a painter translates to barbecuing.
Yeah. Cool. Does it? You just said it does. I mean, I'm not sure. That's not
verified.
I
think that's great.
Can we get a fact checker on that?
I mean, I both paint and occasionally grill things.
I have to get Leslie in here to fact check to see if...
Well, my neighbor Olivia specifically requests me to grill her steaks.
Is that true?
Yeah, she'll like come over. She'll call.
Are you busy, Eva? Can you come
she'll
over?
She'll call and be like, can you grill a steak for me?
So
no, really.
This like, we have some friends coming over at 6. Can you?
No, just for her.
Oh, I
it's
see.
Just like a T-bone for her.
It's funny.
Yeah.
One of your hidden talents.
Yeah. Turning on a propane grill.
Yeah. So tell me about the sailing you're going to do.
I have no idea. I've never met these people. Leslie made a new friend.
Wow.
Who's Bashar, and his boyfriend has a boat.
Is that safe to go on a sailboat with strangers?
I sure hope so. This has happened before. We've gone on a sailboat with strangers.
Okay.
Turned out okay.
Good. Where are you going to go? Like Columbia or something?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Columbia River.
I've always wanted to explore that island out there. What is it? Government Island that you can see right there from Marine Drive?
You want us to go? Like run ashore and...
Well, people do that. People.
I think maybe on a warmer day.
Oh, yeah.
Also, the current in the Columbia is really strong.
It's not... Yeah, I guess it is.
It's very strong.
Yeah.
Have you ever swum in the Columbia?
Yeah. I've never swam across it.
Yeah, okay.
I definitely swam in it many times.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite things to do in summer is to go out there on the bikes and pulling the kayak and then go mm-hmm. go have lunch, go have a snack over on Washington and then kayak back over to Broughton Beach or something.
That's cute.
Yeah, I love that. But yeah, sailing. I've always been intrigued by sailing. Never done it.
I keep learning about these people who know how to sail. Kyle Johnson used to be on the sailing club at Reed College or at Lewis and Clark.
Oh, really?
And
he just did a sailing trip.
Joseph Perez was a sailor.
Is that true? I have a feeling Ryan Hashigan would also be a sailor.
Oh, probably.
A sailor?
It's weird when you say sailor, you think about like people in the Navy.
Yeah.
Not necessarily people who do sailboats.
People
stuff.
Who do sailing. I'm not a sailor. I'm a person who sails.
Yo soy capitán.
Wow. Okay, it's becoming one of those words. If I say it so much, it seems really strange.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to not say it anymore. But
sailor.
Yeah, I think there might. I wonder if there'll be any ties to sailing during Pedalpalooza. There was sort of last year where we had the Yacht Rock ride.
Oh yeah. That ended like Hall & Oates and stuff.
Yeah, that ended on the Duckworth Dock. Beautiful sunset night, and then. Up rode Ryan Hashigan it wasn't a sailboat. It was a rowboat.
Mm-hmm.
He just came up right on the dock there and he had a whole cooler full of
It seems like
drinks.
He's the kind of person that uses like every form of transportation possible.
Yeah, but only certain kinds of forms of transportation, like the really
roller
hard
skates.
Ones. Like, you know, roller skate, skateboard, rowboat, you know, bike.
Right.
I mean, like, not, I should say hard, but like the
sweatiest forms
the sweatiest
of transportation.
Forms. Yeah. Yeah. So
there was some kayaking in Pedalpalooza related kayaking last year too.
Was
it?
There's a bike to kayak, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I forget her name, but she's great. She's online. She does some cool stuff. I can't. Yeah, but yeah, there was a bike to kayak. I feel like doesn't Maria Shure do some swim the Willamette or something?
She does swim across Portland where they find different pools or bodies of water to swim in. And you have to sign up in advance because it She tries to keep the crowd within a certain parameters.
I'm feeling like this would be a good like round up all the water themed rides in Petalpalooza that maybe Bike Portland could do. Mm-hmm. It's coming up. I got to figure out a way to cover it.
Wrap them all together.
That's fun. Yeah. So what else?
Well, I'm scheming my alleyway bike rides.
Oh, okay.
For bike summer.
Good. I loved when I think Megan posted something for the Petalpalooza Instagram and the comments are just full of people saying what rides they're going to do.
That's awesome. It's really cute.
There's so much interest. So you're on.
I'm going to make some alleyway joy rides.
Okay.
Somebody suggested I call them alley-oop.
Hey, that's rides, great. How about alley-whoop?
Alley-whoop.
In honor of Bud Clark. Oh, never mind.
But I need to find basketball hoops that are in alleyways.
You're talking alley-oop as in alleys and basketball.
Yeah, I need to like loop in Jeremy, who used to run at the athletic sock store.
He's a big...
He's big into basketball.
He is big into basketball.
Or at least basketball hoops.
Maybe I should team up with you on that.
Just he also has myself. A pool in his backyard.
Well, there you go. So that's the whole thing.
Make it all happen.
Well, I did my bike skip ball ride 1 year.
Bike skip ball?
Yeah, where we went around. Well, we were supposed to go around to hoops and play basketball and have various shenanigans, but then one person showed up. It was super hot, and there were some other big rides going on. And so myself and Alex, this nice guy, we just shot some baskets at Dawson Park and then called it a day.
I mean, that's kind of cute, too.
We shot on our bikes, though.
Yeah.
If you dribbling while biking and shooting would be one of the things we would do on
this
bike
skip
ball.
This is like Harlem Globetrotters level skill.
I mean, but there's other things, too. If you don't feel comfortable dribbling and shooting, which...
Can you dribble between your legs, but while on a bicycle?
Between the frame?
Yeah.
No. I have a step through, or else I would. I'm just kidding. No, I actually went around and I found hoops in nice, nice area, you know, nice hoops that I wanted to go. Anyway. Yeah. I think there's some fun ways. So yeah, Petalpalooza folks, you can tie any interesting little thing in the city with bicycling in a creative way, and a lot of folks will maybe show up, and you might have the next Lads 500 on your hands.
I want more people to make interesting bike rides, because I think the best ones that I go on are people that they only do one ride the whole summer that they organize.
I agree.
Because they're like super specific, niche, interesting stuff.
Okay, we can't talk about Petalpalooza too much because we are going to be...
It's not even there yet.
We have to
wait. April.
Yep. We got to hold back. We got to hold back.
Okay. Okay. So, reining it in.
Yes. Reining it in. Because that's going to be fun to be talking about when the time is right.
Yes.
And I don't know. Maybe the time is right now to close out your session.
Yeah. There will be more to talk about next week.
There will be more to talk about next week. I feel like I've been... It was spring break. I had my mom in town. Then I went to that New York trip. And I just been... It's really hard for me to be so off... my normal schedule. So I'm actually looking forward to Monday of next week.
Wow.
To be like...
Looking forward to Monday.
Back to where I can just know how things are going to go.
Who else out there is on their Friday? Like, I'm really looking forward to Monday. You know you're doing the right thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so are you, Eva.
Yeah.
Being out and about.
That's pretty great.
Have fun sailing.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Have fun at Lads 500.
I will.
Get some laps in.
Some laps and some laughs.
Yes.
And I'll see you here next Friday, if not sooner.
Sounds good.
And I'll see you at happy hour on Wednesday. How about that?
Yeah. Happy birthday.
Yeah. Thanks for coming by, Eva.
Thanks. See you next time.
I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, please make sure to subscribe and leave a comment and tell your friends about it. And make sure you don't miss any future episodes. Really appreciate all of your support. If you are not a paid subscriber of Bike Portland yet, please become one today at bikeportland.org/support and find out how you can be a part of what we're doing here and pay a little bit in to keep it thriving and surviving. I also want to thank Brock Dittus of Sprocket Podcast fame for our wonderful new theme music. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, we'll see you in the streets.